prayers just don't get answered very often, Steve.
Well, it's because Steve and I do
that. Amen.
I will get better, you know that, don't
you? All right. Now that we've had our back and forth and a wee bit of crack and fellowship, let's go and talk to the Lord instead of each other.
Amen.
Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for everybody being here, Lord, for Ling and Colin, for Pat and Steve, for Norman and my dad, and Monica and myself. When I thank the Lord and those that aren't here tonight, for Will, for Christine too, especially at this time, for Taylor and Christy and Esther. Lord, for all those that have slipped and slid and fallen away, I pray, Lord, that you would draw each and every one back to the foot of the cross. But Lord, just this wee bit of time this evening, I pray that you would minister to us, that you would open our understanding, that you would strengthen us, comfort us, Lord, even just explain something to us. But Father, we pray most importantly for your will to be done. We're glad we're all able to be here. Thankfully, Lord, we still have the liberty to be here. And Father, let's just take the best out of being here. We praise you and thank you for all that you've done for us, and thank you for your patience, Lord. And Father, please just work on each one of our hearts and minds. Don't be done with us, Lord. Take this time, please, I pray, to walk up and down the Bethel Hall and anywhere else that might be having time around your word, Lord, and just work on each one of our hearts. So give us what we need this day, Lord. We ask all this, of course, for a private prayer request and petitions too. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Okay, we'll begin with Amazing Grace, 244 in the big hymn books. 244 in the big books, Amazing We'll just remain seated again as we warm up and sing up with "Are You Washed in the Blood?"
I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, and Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tysias have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas and Carpus, and thou comest bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that I may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me with every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila in the house of Onesimus. Eratus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Milan sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pendens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with thy spirit, grace be with you. Amen.
Amen.
It'd be nice we're in church normally.
That was a good rendition of all of those names, but the one bit that really stuck out to me was take Mark and bring him with you, for he's profitable enough to lead for the ministry. So remember that.
Yes.
That was a good stab. There's a lot of names there. There's a lot of names. I'm definitely glad you were reading it and not me. Amen. Thank you for the reading. Thank you, Steve, for the reading as well.
I'm sure
Norman will express his thanks on the way home in some form or fashion.
That's pretty bad. I'm like, can he do something like that for me?
Amen. Amen. Good shot. The fellow says, he's read an awful lot better than a lot of people that never read it before. So we appreciate it. Thank you very much indeed. This is prayer request time. If anybody has any prayer requests that they would like to make known, now would be the time to put your hand up and let us know. Otherwise, we're just going to let our current batch of prayers ride, and we will continue praying for them. So anybody got any special prayer requests that they would like for us all to be?
I've got one.
Have you?
Is that all right?
Are you allowed to speak in this?
Yeah.
You're allowed to speak in this. Go on ahead.
Maybe there's somebody else got a hand up there.
No, go on ahead. Go on ahead.
This is a good friend of mine, Mitchell Green. Maybe you've met him, have you?
Mm-hmm.
His wife. Man, they're only married maybe 12 months, and she's got cancer. So I have to see them when I go back home. Just a wee prayer for that.
Okay. All right. Please do continue to pray for. Can anybody help you? Have your hand up there, Stephen. I wasn't looking.
There was that picture. Yes.
Please do pray for the Donald family. Just finding it hard to read here because I haven't had my proper glasses on either. But please do pray for the Donald family. We had a son that passed away with COVID in the home. Please do pray for Morris Simpson, that neighbour of yours. He's in the hospital. Steve, you got your booster and everything.
He's
coming. Well, that's good. So we can take that off?
Yeah, we can do.
And put it under thanks?
Yeah.
That lady's name is Renee Graham.
All right. Do continue to pray for Stan when he learns to come to terms with his new diabetic lifestyle.
Oh yes, I can see you what you mean. He's really conscious of it. Yes.
Yeah.
He's a bonny fella.
My wife had an uncle, was it, or a great uncle? A great uncle. What age was he whenever he passed away? 40s.
Yeah.
He was bad diabetic, but he refused to stop eating potato chips and drinking pop. And
he died blind.
Yep, he died blind with one leg because he refused to stop eating junk. So it pays to eat healthy. And you might not notice it much whenever you're young, but you will notice it whenever you get older with any health issues. So please do pray for Stan. He maybe has a bit of dietary education coming up very soon. Do continue to pray for Christy and Taylor, still over in the States. Christy, I think, is all done bar the shouting on his PhD work. So he has a few minor corrections to make by all accounts on his PhD, and then that will be him finished. I haven't heard anything about the return journey, but that's still a month, maybe a month and a half out. Please do continue to pray for Taylor and Christy, and don't forget to pray for Esther as well, and Tina too. Tina's just coming out. Well, she's still having a very difficult time. Staying with Esther, to the best of my knowledge, please do pray for her. Do continue to pray for things that's going on in the world. There was some man drove into a parade in America and killed at least 5 people. I think there were 40 put in hospital. He had 2 decades of trouble with the police and criminal record. And there are a lot of people in Hollywood who are, they're on the wrong side of it. That and that young fella, Rittenhouse, please do pray for him. He nearly spent the rest of his life in jail because of people not liking conservatism and being able to defend yourself whenever you're set upon by a mob. There's a lot of movie stars that are out there, a lot of sports personalities that are out there that are supporting and trying to drum up support for the lowest elements of society. And when I say the lowest, I mean the criminal element of society, and would sooner have criminals walk in the streets than Joe Public and his wife and his kids. So it's worth remembering that these people that are lifted up and glorified really do have nothing but wickedness on their hearts. Has anybody heard of the Star Wars show The Mandalorian?
Yes.
The guy Pedro Pascal, he was, I think it was to do with the Rittenhouse, but he was doing an RIP, rest in peace, for the 2 paedophiles that were killed when they attacked this young fella. That's the sort of caliber of person that you have, that we enjoy being entertained by. So it's worth remembering these things. please do pray for our government. They really do need help. For all the world leaders, they all need to get saved, and they all need to start living for Jesus, because like 90% of the world's problems would disappear if they did. Please do pray. And there's a verse in the Bible that says judgment begins at the house of the Lord, and we should make sure we're walking and talking with the Lord the way we ought to as well. That will certainly make things a lot easier. I have got Mark, myself and Monica, Ling, Steve, Pat, Will, Norman, Charlotte and Colin down for private prayer requests. I take it those are all, everybody still has things that they want everybody praying about, but without the details, yeah? Okay. I think that's about that then.
Two things.
Oh, right, go.
First thing is, I'm nagging you again about the few things.
France, yes, thank you.
And I'll continue to do so.
Yes.
I'm sorry, it's my duty. The second thing is, I'd like to give the Lord thanks and the brethren, and especially my wife, for Sunday night and Norman, for the help, mostly the Lord, with Darwin on me, to get me through what I went through. It was a very hard angina attack that I had.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. I was going to say any time, but I pray it's not any time. You know what I mean? You're very welcome. Not any time. Don't just go around them any time, but yes, we will. Yes. Yes.
And for all the blessings we've received.
And for all the blessings. Yes, indeed. Okay, we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll sing another song or two, and then we'll open our Bibles, let's close our eyes and bow our heads again. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Lord, I know I keep saying it, but thank you for your open invitation to come into your presence day or night, open eyes, closed eyes, on bended knee or on our feet. Lord, please, I pray you, look kindly on us, Lord, and put your good hand upon us. And Lord, just deliver us our needs this day, our spiritual needs, our physical needs, Lord, I pray that you would. And Lord, we're thankful that Steve's been able to be here. I know he's feeling the effects of it still a little bit, but we pray you, Lord, you'd set him back up on his feet according to your will. I know it's difficult on everybody, and we missed Pat and Norman on the service, but I know they're glad to help, and I know we all are, and I pray you, Lord, that Christian spirit of helpfulness would continue. We wouldn't be looking just for what others can do for us, but what we can do for you. Father, we just love you and praise you, thanking you too, Lord, for the liberty that we still have. I pray you, Lord, please, for the brakes to still be applied to wicked men right the way across the world, whether they're living under a bridge or whether they're living in the biggest house in the country. I pray you, Father, please, hinder the devil and all those that are following him or listening to him. I pray that you would hinder them at every turn. And I pray you, Lord, too, for loved ones that don't yet know you as Savior, for loved ones that are absent. Please, Lord, put your good hand upon them. If they don't know you, please save them. If they do know you, Lord, please edify. Thanking you too, Lord, for Colin's granda back home again today, and for the help that the family is bringing to bear, for the help the health service is bringing to bear. And I pray you, Lord, that maybe Colin even would get an opportunity to chat to him. But Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for Steve getting through. We thank you, Lord, for freedom to be here. We thank you, Lord, for answered prayers. Thank you, Lord, for keeping the weather off us as we labor on the outside of the church. And I pray that you would continue to do that. Thank you, Lord, for getting as far as we have. And Lord, we know you'll take us the rest of the way. Please bless the rest of the service, Father, I pray you. And Lord, we just just work on us. We love you and thank you. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take our wee black books this time. The wee black hymn books. And let me see where we're at. That one. Did someone pick, was it 29? Precious Lord, take my hand. Hymn number 29. I picked a couple, and then other people pitched in and picked a couple. I can't for the life of me remember which ones it was, but I picked from which ones everybody else was. But we're in 29. 29. Precious Lord, take my hand.
Yeah.
Split the Bible up into four parts, from Genesis up until Psalms, not including Psalms, then from Psalms to Malachi, that's those two parts, then the Gospels, that's the third part, and then the rest of the New Testament. So I have four plus bookmarks and another one where memory verses are, and I find that I get quite a varied diet of scriptures, Gospels, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and sometimes we end up quite a lot in the Old Testament. Some of it reads like a boy's own magazine, adventure magazine. Some of the Old Testament kings and judges, there's some fantastic things going on. Other times it is a little bit more sedate, but there is always something to be learned. We're speaking on the subject this evening of a good time. A good time. Reading in Mark 1, beginning at verse number 1. And we're reading through until verse number 15. Word of God says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Mm-hmm. Last verses are the portion of scripture that we'll be using as our particular text this evening. We're speaking on the subject of a good time. Let's have another word of prayer very briefly and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, we just pray for this next little bit of time that we've set aside, that you would keep our hearts and minds fixed upon your word. You keep our eyes open and our minds alert as we, well, listen to these bits and pieces. And maybe we'll even find a wee nugget of scriptural gold in there that's just something that we've been looking for that we can carry to somebody else. But Lord, we pray your good hand upon us all now. Pray especially for Stan at this time, for Christy and Taylor, especially for Stan, his lifestyle changes, the family over in England. Lord, you know what we need. Please supply our needs. Lord, we love you and thank you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 The Gospel of Mark, through the eyes and the experiences, the Gospel of Jesus Christ through the eyes and experiences of Mark. It is, just for an FYI, it's the shortest of the four Gospels. And some schools of thought consider this to be the Gospel of Jesus Christ the Servant. Matthew is the Gospel, they would say, of Jesus Christ the King. Luke would be the Gospel of Jesus Christ the Man. And John, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the actual Son of God. And the thing about, thing that's most noticeable about the book of Mark, that it's full of action. It's always get up and get going. And even as we read this first of chapters, we have something like 10 times you have words that encourage you to get going. You have straightway, you have forthwith, you have immediately, and you have let us go. All of which are phrases that make you sound like you should be pulling on your coat and heading out the door. And that's the way the Gospel of Mark is portrayed. Jesus always had somewhere to be, and he went there and he did what he needed to do. There always seems to be a time crunch, and this is even borne out in this our scripture verse this evening, where the Lord said, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Literally, quite literally, telling people that there is a timetable to be kept to. There is a time. Just like a servant is expected to do what his master says whenever his master says it, we have, just for the sake of argument, we have John's ministry. And in some of the other Gospels, John's ministry extends to a couple of chapters. We have the Lord's baptism. And that shot through very quickly and literally a verse or two here as well. We have his temptation in the wilderness, which is covered in one verse. And yet in the other Gospels, they talk about the devil coming and actually contending with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he stood up against him. He submitted himself to God. He resisted the devil with the scriptures. And the devil fled away. Anyway, left him. And then we have John thrown into prison. And all the other Gospels, they seem to get all of that preamble out of the way and they get straight to the business of what the Lord came to do. And I think it's pretty well summed up in verse 15. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to say, look, the time is fulfilled. All of the scriptures, the prophecies, all the things that you've read about, they're fulfilled right now. Do you remember one of the accounts in the Gospels where the Lord, it was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he opened at Isaiah, and he said, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your sight." We're talked about him coming to take everybody's aches and pains and sins and one thing and another on. They weren't happy about that. But there is quite a literal time crunch. And you will see as you read Mark, straightway and forthwith and immediately are mentioned over and over and over again. Now, if I was to say to you, a good time, what would your immediate thoughts be? It would probably be of the last time you had a good laugh, or the last time you had a good thrill. You got that wee adrenaline jag. Or if you were on the church bus, the children would always say, "Go fast down the Fincairn Road because there's a wee bump on it. And if you hit that just right, the bus goes into free fall for like A fraction of a second, and everybody gets the butterflies, and they all whoop and laugh and one thing and another, and think, oh, we had a good time in the bus. And whether that bag of sweets or whatever it was made it any better, I don't know, but children might think of something as simple as that. Somebody who's a bit more jaded in life might consider going out for a night's drinking and thinking it's great if they can't remember what it was they were doing or where it is that they're waking up. Some of these things, even taking their lives, their own lives in their hands. Jumping off a bridge with an elastic band tied to your ankles, or jumping out of a plane with a big bed sheet tied to your shoulders. A good time means different things to different people. But we're not talking about those sorts of good times. And by the way, there's no harm in having a good time. You can enjoy yourself as a Christian. There's just certain things you shouldn't be doing as a Christian. The good time that the Lord was talking about, that time being fulfilled, would be more like your mummy or your daddy asking you, well, when would be a good time for you to, say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? When would be a good time? I can almost see the Lord in heaven saying, well, when would be a good time? Oh, I know right now you're out partying and you're carrying on and you're mucking about. So when do you think would be a good time for you to get right with me? The thing about it is that so many people don't know how close at hand that time is. And they certainly do not realize by how little they are going to miss everything that the Lord has for a soul until it's far too late. And the thing with saying no to God and putting him off is that someday God's going to say, and you and I won't know, I'm going to give him one more chance. That chance to get saved, that chance to do something with his life, to heap up treasures for himself in heaven. And we're going to be saying, we're going to be so used to saying, Lord, not today. Or what is it used to say as a child? Just 10 more minutes, Mum. Just one more life, just one more go. And then it's too late. Mm-hmm. Now, unless you happen to have traded in your favourite mode of transport and where you live for a TARDIS, that's Doctor Who's car, mm-hmm. There's only one person that knows the end of our story, and all the bits in between, and of course that's the Lord God. And he knows, on the one hand, how fragile we all are, and on the other hand, how resilient we can be as well. I'm sure you've heard of stories of babies falling from first story windows, and they land on the grass and they bounce and they're fine. Not something I would want to put to the test. But we've also heard of grown adults just falling off of their feet or down a step. And whatever way they land, that's them. They're done. The Lord knows which way things like that are going to go. And he knows everything everywhere and can do anything. And he still loves us to bits. He even knows all the things that's running through our heads and all the things that we've done. And if we were really honest, there's a lot of people wouldn't want anything to do with us if they knew everything that runs through our heads and all the things that we've done. And even though we are quite literally unlovely, we are a fallen and broken creature, God still calls to us. He still loves us. And he still warns us and encourages us and sacrifices for us and still pleads with us through the preaching of the scriptures and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and through the reminding of a gospel verse that you have maybe committed to your heart. That's like coal in the fire for the Christian. And he's not just done it for us, but for every generation of all the millennia that mankind has been tramping about in the face of this earth. And that message has been to repent. Repent of your sins and trust in Christ as your Saviour.
Mm-hmm.
And when that person, I would pray, or if that person repents, the Lord, again, doesn't stop there. He gives you a new father, a new brother, a new best friend, a new family, a new future. He gives you a new eternity, a new strength, a new overcoming power, a new peace, a new purpose, new scriptures, if you want to put it like that, new promises, new comforts and new words. He gives us all of those things. They're all laid at the fingertips of every Christian. Every one of those things. I know in some places it costs an awful lot more to be a Christian than it does in this neck of the woods. But wouldn't it be a powerful shame to do nothing with that? Any idea of the power that a few verses of scripture rattling around in your head? Any idea of the power that that has? Paul said in Romans 1, not to be ashamed of it, but he wasn't ashamed of it, because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So it can save your soul. But he didn't just say salvation from hell for the endless ages of eternity. He said salvation. So he means salvation right now as well. And how many Christians, young men and young women, have been saved from disease, from an early death, simply by saying, no, I'm not going out to the pub, I am going to church tonight, I'm going to the Bible study, I am not going to be doing stupid things, simply by doing what God said. How many Christians have been warmed and comforted and strengthened, thinking, what am I going to do? And then they walk into the men's bathroom, that would be the men, and they see the poster up on the wall that says, they that wait upon the Lord, they that do things God's way, read the scriptures, pray, praise Him, turn up at church, tithe, that do what God asks them to do, well, you'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Or what about Samuel, whenever, I think it's 2 Samuel 2:22, where it talks about, by my God, I have leaped over a wall. By my God, have I run through a troop. The power and the strength that knowing the Lord as Savior and loading up with the scriptures can give you to keep going. So it doesn't matter who is lined up between you and your eternity. You can keep going. You can turn all of their words on one side and say, this is what the Bible says. And it has worked for thousands of years. You have departed from it. How's it working for you now? But you can say, it works for me. And again, at the risk of repeating myself, and the reason I do repeat myself is because it is so important that whenever you are on your own and you're maybe having a difficult time, I know about you, but I went to bed last night and I was aching all over. Some of that was Norman's fault. Some of it was Colin's fault. But the most of it was my own fault for all the things that we do whenever we're climbing up and down a ladder, holding something up there and drilling up here and all the strains that it puts on you. And I woke up feeling the same way, and I felt like someone was dragging me through custard. My head wasn't with it at all. And do you know what? In times like that, whenever you're at a very low ebb, whenever your mind is not where it should be, it is good to have some scriptures running through your head. So sore I couldn't even get up out of bed. What scriptures do you have to comfort your soul? But the ones you jammed in there, the ones you hammered in there. There's power in there. That comforts you when you can't get the Bible or get your eyes to focus on His Word. It settles your mind and will send you off to sleep, because I tell you what, the devil certainly doesn't want you repeating scriptures. And if he can't confuse you, he's going to get you back off to sleep again. So mission accomplished. Whenever you're on your own and you're thinking, well, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? I have found, and I guarantee you, because Jesus guarantees us, that whenever you need the scriptures, He will remind you of all of the scriptures you have ever come across. And the reason I can say that is because I'm doing it right now. And my prayer here, the wee quiet one that may or may not turn up ever on the recordings, is, Lord, please give me the words to say for the rest of this service. But even when I'm out and about, whenever we're speaking at doors or using the megaphone, the thing that fires us up, do you remember how they used to have to prime the old motor cars? Now we have an electric motor that turns the engine. Do you remember that they used to have to get the crank and they used to have to turn it before it would catch? That's what a few verses of scripture will do to the Christian. They will prime the Christian and prepare them to start firing. And once that engine starts turning, the Holy Spirit will say, what about this verse? What about that message? Or the words from that old song? That is what you need to say next. And you are doing yourself a favor whenever you just shout them out there. It doesn't just help. You're not just putting those scriptures into your head so that you can speak them to somebody else. You're putting those scriptures into your head so that they can comfort you when you are low, that they can strengthen you when you are low. Or how many people have you ever come across that was reading the scriptures and I was just thinking about that. The Lord is maybe trying to tell you something, maybe just nudge you in a different direction. So my question is, when would be a good time for us to have a go at the scriptures? When would be a good time to come to church? When would be a good time to take and use every single one of those gifts that God has given you to bolster you up as a Christian? Who was I listening to today? I don't know if any of you have ever come across a wee fellow by the name of Ben Shapiro. He's a wee Jewish man, and he has a news channel. He's a very conservative news channel. And what was he asked? He was asked, what would you say is the thing that proves that God exists? All right. What he said escapes me right now. But if someone asked me, how would you prove that God exists? I would say there's two things to me. The first one is Israel. Israel exists, and it shouldn't. But it exists because A, God said it would exist again. And B, there were untold miracles that took place just 70 plus years ago to bring it into being. That would be my number one. My second is prophecy, biblical prophecy. Because again, unless you have a TARDIS parked in your garage, the only one that can tell the future is God Almighty. And all the things that are written in the Bible 2,000 years ago, and I can almost see the people saying, God, I have no idea what it is you want me to write down. And God just said, you just write that down exactly the way I say it, and people 2,000 years from now are going to read that and say, that's what that means. You're going to give images like, how are you going to do that? And that is so common today, we don't even give that a thought. Images have life everywhere. Our phones, our TVs, the internet, the movies. Goodness, even those big lit signs, images given life. The ability to kill everybody in the face of the world. The ability to spread a message right the way around the world. We have that, but that stuff was not available. Can you imagine a man from 2,000 years ago writing down So Jesus is going to come back and every eye is going to see him. As the lightning shines from the east even unto the west, in a moment of time, everybody will see him. How is that? A homing pigeon is as fast as we can go. We can only go at 45 or 50 miles an hour. You're talking about an instance of time going 20-something thousand miles. That's impossible, God. God said, just you write that down. That'll mean something to Mark when he stands up in the pulpit. And thousands and millions of other Christians as the years go on. Prophecy. I would say prophecy. And God has that here for us. Mm-hmm. So when is it we're going to have a wee look at it? Or when is it we're going to commit a few of those verses to our hearts and minds? God has given us so much stuff. And in this country, do you know, in England and the UK, used to be the land that sent missionaries right the way across the world. And now we have missionaries coming to us. Is that sad or what? And why is that? Because God has kept saying to all of these people that should be living for the Lord, that should be going out into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. He's saying to the ministers, forget about going out into all the world. Get you round the street corner and preach the gospel. God's been saying, when would be a good time exactly for you to do that? Would that be after you've sown your wild oats? Would that be after you've had your drinks and your girlfriends or your boyfriends? Would that be after you've done your drugs? Would that be after you've watched your favorite TV program? And by the way, watch your favorite TV program. By all means. But do what God asks you to do first. You've got any number of hard drives and memories and downloadable content. You can watch your favorite TV program any time of the day or night. Put God first. So when would be a good time? Do you want to wait until you're educated before you start serving the Lord? Do you want to wait until you've a few grey hairs and a bit of worldly wisdom before you start serving the Lord? Do you want to wait until you have a fortune before you start serving the Lord? If we were to throw all of these excuses out there, how many people would actually get around to ever serving the Lord? And by the way, when I say serving the Lord, I'm not talking about being a full-time missionary or Sunday school teacher or preacher. I'm talking about serving the Lord where he's put you. I'm talking about being a Christian housewife or a husband, a good Christian worker, a good Christian mother, a good Christian son or daughter, a good Christian father, a good Christian employer, a good Christian employee. Mm-hmm. When would be a good time to start? Now, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I know from speaking to and knowing everybody here over the last, goodness, nearly 20 years plus, that you've done your bit. If you're here, that means your bit's not over. But you've been working on your bit. If you're here, you've still a voice to lift up and call people's names out. You can still do what God asked you to do. But when would be a good time to start? I'm not talking about anybody here. Maybe this is for somebody on the internet. When would be a good time? I have even seen me and the Lord convict me about reading and studying and me thinking, Lord, you know what? I really don't feel like it right now, because even pastors feel like that sometimes as well. And then the Lord puts it like this. So, it's like this, Mark, is it? You would rather be checking your email or faffing about reading the news than you would reading the good news. Is that it? And that pretty much, you know, that wins the argument every time. He says to me, when exactly would you like to start doing your studying for the Wednesday evening service? At like 4:30? 5:00? In the 15 minutes before you head out the door, there is no way in this wide world I can type up two sides of A4 and about a third of that is Bible verses and possibly put all my thoughts down on paper. It just doesn't work. When would be a good time? a great little verse in 2 Corinthians. And it goes something like this. Well, it goes exactly like this because I've got it written down here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Word of God says, this is Paul in his second letter to the church at Corinth. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. That's God's promise to you. So behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The day of saving your soul forever and the day of saving the rest of your life. None of us perfect. I'm not going to stand here and say that we are. I know all of us have fallen short. The Bible says everyone's fallen short of the glory of God, but even of our Christian duty. And we can't do a single thing about the days and weeks and months and years that have gone past, but we are the masters of our own destiny. We can do something with the days and weeks and months and years that lie ahead of us. But now is a good time. Now is a good time. And the next time the Lord taps you on the shoulder and says, what about? Just for the crack. Just to put him to the test. Just to let him work in your life. Do what he asks you to do. Just for the crack. It might be something crazy like walking up to a complete and utter stranger and saying, there's a gospel tract. Here's what you say. I had to think about it before. I can't walk up to someone and just give them a gospel tract. And God said, blame me. I said, okay. I went up to the guy and says, the Lord put it upon my heart to give you the gospel tract. To God be the glory. I remember that big guy said to me, I thought he was going to split me in two. This big tattooed guy, 6 foot something or other, with Satan's illegitimate children tattooed across his forehead. Said, oh, it's okay, mate. I'm just not interested. I said, that's grand, but you know what? I'm going to leave a couple there for you. I must discharge my duty to the Lord. And that was it. Don't know if he ever got saved, but I do know he stepped off into eternity a couple of years ago. When would be a good time to do all of these things that the Lord has called you to do? The answer is now, by the way, in case you want. It's always good to do what the Lord asks you to do now. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I appreciate it. Appreciate you being here. I know it's a cool, dark and damp evening. We're going to sing another song and then we will be finished. Does anybody who hasn't picked one already have one that they'd like for us all to sing? I think that's basically Lynn or Norman or my dad.
Who you let me out?
Oh, you got picking one. Pick. You picked Amazing Grace.
Oh, I saw this one. Lynn?
Lynn or Norman or dad, have you got one?
372.
That's definitely in the big book. 372. We all like that one. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing, Let the Lower Lights, I think it is, yes indeed. Let the Lower Lights be bright.
Our Father.
Does anybody feel a bit cool yet? Are we all comfortable? Maybe it's just me, my toes feel cool. There you go. Amen. Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer and then we can go home to our warm fireplace. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time in your house with the brethren, around your word, lifting up your praises and just spending a bit of time, Lord, letting you work in our hearts and minds. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. I pray especially, Lord, for the Graham family at this time, the Donald family, Lord, for all those that have lost loved ones or have sick loved ones, for Colin's granddad, Lord, for Steve and for the Lamb family too, Lord. There's just so many needs. We pray for these folks and, Lord, for the saving of souls and for the edifying of the saints. Bless us, Lord, and see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.